The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I think the reality is the Jaguars have come back to the pack, which means the Texans are going to be right there in it because all these teams are about the same. I don't see anyone running away with this division.
So far, they've played one team that's got a winning record and six teams that have a losing record. You know how many games they have against teams with winning records left on their schedule? One is Thursday night against the Dolphins. The only other team with a winning record left on their schedule at the Washington Redskins.
Amari Cooper to the Cowboys.
For a first-round pick, how many receivers would you give up a first-round draft pick for? I was thinking five or six. I mean, I think there's some guys who are borderline.
I don't think he's borderline. But if I'm the Raiders and you call and offer me a first-round pick, I'm
jumping at it.
Yeah, okay, sure.
The Cowboys are desperate, though. To me, Amari Cooper at this point he's looked worse than Dez Bryant.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz Hour, number three. Man, this is another one that's just flying by. 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click the like. You're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And it's a Monday. You're probably stuck in traffic.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, it is a happy Monday. It was a good weekend. It was fun. Your Texans are 4-3, which I know you're excited about.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's clown-punching material for you. And, we're into a fun stretch of sports here. College football getting very interesting, by the way. Let's talk a little college football, if that's okay. You know who's probably not making the playoff now? Ohio State.
If Ohio State wins out, they'll still make it.
I don't know, man. I think there's going to be – well.
Because they'd have two wins over – I mean, or they'd have a win over Michigan and a win over Wisconsin. They'd still make it. It's a shame.
I don't think this team is running the table from here.
Oh, I don't think so either. I'm not saying they're going to. I'm saying if they win out, they would.
But I think this brings Texas-Oklahoma winner, if they both have one loss, back in. I think – you know, because people are asking me, one loss Texas, would they get? Well, this has to happen. Well, that's one thing that had to happen. I don't know.
A one loss Texas or a one loss Ohio State?
That's the thing. I think now it's a conversation.
Okay.
It would not have been, obviously, if Ohio State's unbeaten. And I think it's a conversation with a one loss Texas or a one loss Michigan.
The difference between one loss Texas and one loss Michigan is Michigan lost to another playoff team.
Yeah.
Texas lost to a bad team. That's why Texas and Purdue, or Texas and Ohio State, are in the same boat, because they both lost to teams that aren't considered quality teams. Michigan has really the best loss of anybody.
That's if Notre Dame does run the table.
Right.
It's
starting to look more and more like they are.
I was thinking USC, they had a chance to get beat there, but now USC's down to what, a third or a fourth quarterback?
Florida State's bad. USC's bad.
Pittsburgh's bad, and they were all out to beat them, though.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know how good this team really is, that they're good enough to, you know, that they're good enough to win, even though they might be better than the teams they're facing. But we'll see. I thought the one thing that Ohio State's had trouble with is big plays.
The one thing Ohio State's had trouble with is they have to play defense in football games. So they don't like that.
But the thing is, their defense has been giving up a lot of big plays.
Yeah, they're horrible.
And that came back to bite them. Alabama looks fine. I think we can pencil them in.
Alabama's good.
You know what? Give me a Sharpie. I'm writing their name in with a Sharpie.
Yeah. LSU fan doesn't want to hear that. They've got high hopes. But this is – man, and I feel so bad for LSU. Did you see – The targeting penalty?
Yeah, that was garbage. That was garbage.
And
you're going to lose that guy for the first half of
the Alabama game?
Yeah.
That's and you're talking. You're not just talking about, you know, a random dude. Devin White's, that's the best player on their defense.
Yeah.
You're going to be without him against the best offense in the whole wide world. That sucks for LSU. That's garbage. They need to have some sort of appeal system,
yeah,
or something.
Because, I mean, I think the rule's fine, but if you make that kind of ruling and a guy has to miss the next game.
I don't think their helmets even touched.
No, there has to be an appeal process on that. And how do you look at the replay of that?
I don't know.
That's just guys from Alabama. That's all it is. Clemson kicked the crap out of NC
Looks like
State.
Targeting to me. Roll Tide.
Yeah.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Clemson looked pretty good. Notre Dame was off. LSU, though, they're such a good football team, and I feel bad that I give them no shot against Alabama, because I really do think they might have one of the five best teams in the country.
Yeah.
It's just the difference between one and four or five is...
I'm done betting against LSU, I think, although I say that. I might do it against Alabama.
Yeah, because I think you'll actually get some value in the number that you wouldn't give anybody else.
I'm projecting it's 14, and if it is...
I'm on Bama.
Yeah. But... this is what I'll say, and the reason why I keep betting against LSU isn't because I don't like LSU. It's because if you go through all the numbers, like the math, LSU shouldn't be as good as they are. You know, points per play, you know.
You look at their Vegas rankings, and it's because of yardage and things like that. It's just like it doesn't make sense. But you watch them play football, and they win football games.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Like, it's eye test.
When I pick these games, I'm not just saying, oh, I like this team's jerseys better. Like, it's all based on math. I'm not just throwing my money in the toilet.
I do like the jerseys they ran out.
I did, too.
Those are pretty badass, if you want to be honest.
But yeah, LSU statistically shouldn't be what they are, yet somehow they keep winning. And, Joe Burrow, I mean, look at his stats. He's not a good quarterback, but he's winning football games.
Yeah.
And it's really miraculous, and Ed Orgeron should be commended for what he's doing.
He gets a lot out of those guys emotionally. He always has when he's gone in as an interim coach, except for at Ole Miss. But when he went in as an interim coach at USC, he did it. When he went in as an interim coach at LSU, he did it. He gets those guys to play.
My hope is that, because I'm assuming they're going to lose to Alabama, my hope is that LSU doesn't lose another game. And they can get a good quality bowl game out of this thing, obviously not going to be in the playoff if they lose to Bama, but if they get a good quality bowl game, that'd go a long way for that program, which I like to see them win.
Yeah, it's football's more interesting to me when LSU's good, when Aggie's good, when Texas is good. Football's more interesting
around here for sure.
Texas off, they'll get Oklahoma State this week, and I would have thought that might be a trouble place for them, but. Man.
Listen, if Texas has a minus before their point spread, it's a trouble spot.
You know what? Let me check that point spread because I have it up on Sports Map. Texas -4.
Yeah. I mean, that's a scary game, man.
You know what? Aggie is getting 4 from Mississippi State. I don't want to get to lines until tomorrow. I think I have to bet Aggie at that.
I think I might, too.
Don't tell anybody, okay? But I might bet Aggie at +4. Oklahoma got a nice win over TCU.
Oh, boy. That was one of my big hits this weekend, too.
Yeah, that one I should have played. I just,
Yeah, they, first half they came out blazing. TCU tried to make it a sweat by halftime, and then in the second half, Oklahoma just pulled away from them. They just got too much. And I honestly, Oklahoma might be a blind bet for the rest of the season. After that Texas game, I think they're just going to keep rolling through these guys because they still believe they have a chance to win a national championship, and their offense can score on anybody.
And they do. If they win out regular season, they'll play Texas again. They'll have another shot at them. And, if they can beat them, I think they have a shot, especially with Ohio State losing. I think that helps your stock if you're Oklahoma.
And Oklahoma, believe it or not, I don't know if any team can beat Alabama. Oklahoma's kind of worst-case scenario for a team like Alabama because Oklahoma can score with you. They can score every time they get the ball.
Historically, they have the kind of quarterback that gives Alabama fits. And, that's a matchup I'd like to see. But we'll see how it goes. Central Florida, to me, is an interesting conversation to have. They didn't have their quarterback, and they still – rolled and still covered, by the way. Thank you for that, Central Florida. It was one of the ones I needed. I think in the
end,
their
problem is their schedule continues to look worse.
They're going to need more two-loss teams is what they're going to need.
Oh, no doubt.
And I mean, it may play out that way, but I just
don't see them getting in. I mean,
I think they're going to start getting a lot of love, but I don't think they're any lock at this point because they still have South Florida to play. They still have Cincinnati, who choked like a dog.
And Temple, who's pretty good.
Temple can slow you down. And then presumably UH in the championship game, they can put up points on you. So, I mean, it's no lock that they keep winning.
But even if they do, it doesn't matter. They didn't schedule well enough to warrant consideration in my mind.
I think, though, they're going to start.
If at the end of the year your best win is against South Florida, you shouldn't be playing for a national championship.
I think, though, they're going to get more attention because they did it last year.
And but that, you can't go like that. That's not how it works.
But that's how Boise started getting better games because they did it over a stretch of time.
Better games, but they never got a national championship shot.
No, they didn't, but they weren't in a playoff situation then either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that there's going to be a lot more discussion about it than you do. And if there's a lot – if there starts – like if your Big 12 champ has two losses, we already think the Pac-12's out of it. Notre Dame loses a game. I think suddenly there's going to be a push, at least from some, if you don't have clear four to see them in there.
I mean, of course they're going to push for it, but
well, I'm not saying them. I think there's a lot more people than them, so we'll see. I feel like they're starting to get more buzz. It'll be interesting when the first rankings come out.
Wow.
Now, I think it may be they may do the whole. The buzz is basically, yeah, we'll let you think you have a shot.
You know what? Let them in. Let them in and let them play Alabama on a neutral field and watch what happens.
But you can say that about any team.
And then we can just stop talking about them forever.
But you know what? You can say that about any team.
Right, you can.
Any team that you're talking about,
I
putting
know.
In over them, don't use Alabama as the example.
No, this
use
is why it is an example. Because if they get in and Alabama kicks their heads in, then the narrative's built for you. They can't hang with the big boys. And it doesn't matter who could have hung with them. It's that Central Florida couldn't. So we'll never hear from that school again, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, see, I think that's silly. Because you can say the same thing. Oh, put Clemson and Alabama on a neutral field. Alabama's going to kill Clemson, too.
You can. But guess what? Clemson's also seen some pretty decent teams this season. Central Florida hasn't.
So?
Yeah,
I mean, you're basically saying that you're picking them out because you want rid of them. Give me another team you can say play Alabama on a neutral field and it'd be competitive.
I just said Oklahoma.
Okay, good luck with that.
Michigan, Georgia.
I don't think any of those are going to be that competitive.
Well, okay. See, I think they'd be a lot more competitive than Central Florida.
You know what? They're going to get to play Georgia, so you don't have to worry about that. But if they don't get to play Georgia, Georgia's not good enough and doesn't belong there.
But, hey, if Central Florida beating up on East Carolina tells you that they're deserving, then I don't know.
How many of their games have you actually watched? They're a lot more talented.
Two or three? I mean, they look talented when they're playing against guys who didn't get scholarship offers from SEC schools.
Yeah, well, the reality is they're not getting a chance to play those teams.
Whose fault is that? They're not getting a chance?
They're not getting a chance to play SEC teams.
Well, how is it that UH was able to schedule teams that they were respectable?
Yeah, guess what?
Respectable.
It's a little harder for them to get those games now because they want them. Now they're getting Tech is the best thing to do. Kansas. That's who's playing them now. You think that's going to help them in a couple years if they go unbeaten? Oh, Kansas. Woo.
No.
Listen, I don't think they're getting in, but I also think they need to be in the conversation. And to just say they'd get killed by Alabama, a lot of teams are going to get killed by Alabama. What do you think would happen to Texas?
They'd get killed.
Okay. I don't.
But at least Texas beat Oklahoma and did something to warrant being there and playing there.
And also lost to Maryland. I mean, that's – these guys didn't lose to Maryland.
No, because they didn't play a Power 5 conference team. Mm-hmm. they avoided that altogether.
I also think a lot of these teams that they're playing in the AAC are better than a lot of these mid-level teams in Power 5.
They probably are, but the reality is it's so –
No. Do they have a signature win? No, but I think to just dismiss them outright.
They don't have a signature win, and they won't have a signature win. That's the problem.
No, because – and I've said this all along. If you're going to be one of those teams, you have to have those games like UH did with Oklahoma and Louisville. But I also think – I think the conversation's changing, at least from people nationally, that they're at least going to be in this conversation. And if you keep having teams like this lose, would you rather have a two-loss Georgia in there? Do they really have a chance? I don't think so.
Probably not.
And then, you put them in there, they get murdered by Alabama, you can say, oh, they didn't belong. But what if you put them in there against Clemson?
And I stand corrected. They did play Pitt, so they did play a Power 5 team.
Pitt damn near beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, but you just said yourself that Pitt sucks.
Well, they do suck. So I'm not sold on Notre Dame. I'm not sure I wouldn't take Central Florida over Notre Dame right now.
Really?
Neutral field.
Okay.
Offensively, I think...
I'd book that for you if you wanted.
Okay. Well, it's not going to happen, which is why you would book
it. If they make the playoffs, they might.
Then I'll take Central Florida.
All right.
I've seen enough of both of those teams. And if Central Florida were wearing Notre Dame's uniform, they'd be number two in the country.
The same.
Yeah, they're kind of the same. But if they were, if you flopped the team's jerseys right now, they're number two in the country.
No, because Notre Dame's played their schedule.
They would have beaten everybody on Notre Dame's schedule. Except maybe Michigan first game. I don't know. But that was also the first game.
Yeah.
And I think if you've said this yourself. Michigan plays Notre Dame right now. What happens?
I think Michigan wins.
I think Michigan wins too. But guess what? We don't get that.
We don't get it.
So.
All right, guys, there's a lot of different energy providers out there always throwing different offers at you. Free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, the list goes on and on. And you may have fallen for one of those offers and months later found out that you're paying a higher rate or they're throwing additional fees onto your bill. That's not right. And Tri-Eagle knows it's not right. Tri-Eagle Energy, they keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay, period. There's no gimmick. There's no minimum usage fees. There's no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Call 877-93-EAGLE or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064 for Tri-Eagle Energy.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the World Game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
And we are back on the Blitz. Greg Bevo says, not a UCF fan, they shouldn't be in the playoff, but they did beat Auburn in New Year's 6 game, which is one thing that I would not use as an argument because it's an exhibition.
UCF cared about that and Auburn didn't.
Yeah, and we see this all the time, man, when Utah played Bama. There was a year, and frankly, it's not just non-Power 5. It was a year Oklahoma played Bama when Bama thought they were going to the championship.
Yeah.
It basically folded up their tents after that.
Because there's teams who are excited to be playing in that game, and then there's teams who are disappointed to be playing
Auburn,
in that game.
Auburn thought they were playing for a national championship.
Yeah.
And so, believe me, oh, well, you get to go play against UCF. Ooh. So, but no, I think, you know, and my point is, I'm not making a case for them, but I'm also – I'm just telling you, I think there's going to be a lot of discussion about it. And in the end, I don't think they'll make it because it plays out the way it tends to play out. But stuff gets weird. Don't be shocked. But I also, by the same token, yeah, they beat Auburn. Ooh. If they get killed by Alabama, I'm not going to say they didn't belong there because I think a lot of teams are going to get killed by Alabama in that four slot. And, you know, maybe OU can give them a game. I don't know. OU's defense is so bad this year, though, and even with a new coordinator.
Yeah, the thing about Oklahoma is it doesn't matter if their defense is bad because they could score on anybody.
Yeah, but they're not going to score on Alabama the way they score on everybody, though.
Well,
that's a pretty good Alabama defense.
It's pretty good, but it's weaker than what we've seen some Alabama defenses be. And they've shown that you can throw the ball around on them a little bit. I think the bigger problem is Alabama's now you've got to be able to score points to keep up with them.
Right.
You know, and Oklahoma's one of the few schools that I think can.
I think the only way Alabama's not – winning this whole thing is
if Tua gets hurt.
Tua's not 100%, and right now he's not 100%, and he's still playing pretty well.
Give me the, I don't know, the three teams you think have a shot to beat him.
Well, the scary thing is,
or the three teams you think could keep it close with him.
Right now, I want to. Well, most of the teams that I think that could give him a game are pretty much done. Like Oregon offensively I thought was good enough, but they're out. That's two losses. Georgia gave them a good game last year, but I don't think Georgia's good this year. I think they're good, but they're not at that level. And that's my problem. That's why it's so easy for me to...
I think Oklahoma, Georgia, and Michigan is my list of teams that I think could give them a good game.
Notre Dame's probably the next one down the list because Notre Dame can score, but they'll just get scored on constantly.
Yeah, I don't think they can score against Alabama.
Maybe not.
I would have thought Ohio State, they're done. I would have thought West Virginia, they're done.
Yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma's the only team that sort of has the profile, and I don't know that they're even getting there.
They might not.
Because they're still.
Well, the three that I mentioned, Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma, they all have an uphill climb.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Michigan, none of them may get there. So the reality is if you wind up with, I don't think Notre Dame would have any prayer against them, and that's probably your four seed unless there's only two unbeatens. So, yeah, and I don't want to start the conversation about expanding the playoffs. Let's not.
Please don't. Yeah. We already have enough teams.
Well, I think there's a better way to do it, but I also think this is better than what we've had, so. And realistically, if we're arguing 5 and 6 now, we're going to be arguing 9 and 10 if we go to 8.
Yep.
It's the same thing as the NCAA basketball tournament. And, you know, I think if you can make money off of it and the television ratings will be great, go to 8. Those are the reasons to do it. But to just get people to quit whining, it's not going to stop. Because even if you do 5 champions and 3 wild cards, there's going to be 2 other wild cards that get left out. And the arguments are going to be harder when you start talking 9 and 10,
yeah,
versus 5 and 6.
Yeah, I think so far.
Because you'll have three two-loss teams that you're trying to put in there and for one spot. And that's going to be – then you're going to have 2 pissed-off ones.
I've come around that this 4-team thing isn't the worst thing in the world because typically the teams that have been left out, quote fingers left out, they weren't winning that thing anyway. So as long as there's no deserving teams that I think are like a real championship level team, as long as there's none of those teams left out, I'm fine with 4.
Well,
and right now, how many teams look like they are really national championship material? 1.
Well, but then it doesn't matter if it's 1. Then it doesn't matter if it's 4, 8, or 100.
Right. Except how many games are you going to make that team play to prove it at some point?
Yeah. I guess the more you throw out there at them, you know, maybe there's a chance somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, do you want that?
Well, I think it's – I don't know. Yeah,
with a 4-team tournament, it seems like the goal is really to find out who the best team is.
Yeah, well, even with an 8-team tournament, it would be, though. I mean, it wouldn't be much different if Alabama were playing number 8 instead of number 4.
Well,
they're probably winning that.
At what point does it change? Because the NCAA tournament isn't designed to find out who the best team is.
No, the basketball tournament, you mean.
Yeah.
No, I think if you start trying to get into 12 or 16 or numbers like that, and you know, to me, if you flat it at 8, I still think you're going to get the best teams winning 90% of the time.
Yeah.
You create one more opportunity for an upset, and maybe that 8 team is a school like USC a couple years ago that had problems early when their quarterback was hurt and then started rolling late and might have been able to beat them. That's the kind of 8 you would need to get.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that with 4.
What you'll probably end up getting is an 8 seed that's, you know, Washington State or something like that, and no one's going to want to watch it.
I don't know. I mean, wouldn't mind watching Washington State's offense against them. It's more meaningful college football at the end of the season. I don't think it's a bad thing. That's all. Because, frankly, how much meaningful college football do we have? We have 3 games. We have the 2 semifinals and the final.
Yeah.
And the rest of it only matter to you if it's your team. And, yeah. So, I know there should be 6. Oh, there should be 8. Oh, there should be 60. No, just, you know, right now there's 4. Let's live with the 4. If they go to 8 at some point, we can argue over that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no – nothing – no change you make is going to get rid of the arguments over who should be in. All you're going to do is create more. Now, are you creating an opportunity for 4 more teams? Okay. Maybe they're deserving. Maybe they're not. As Xavier says, 16 teams. No.
Too many.
No. Stop there. South Florida doesn't need to be in there. They barely beat UConn this week.
Yeah. 16 in the AP poll is now Texas A&M.
You shouldn't have said that. You know what happens now. Well, I think 16 teams is a great idea.
They had a chance. They had a chance. They've already lost by 22 points to Alabama. Do we need to see it again? No.
Mm, Yeah, I don't know.
Because then you go 16. Well, why not go 32?
Well, that's the problem, and that's why I think under 10 is the way to go. And once you get beyond that, I mean, I think there should be a, you know.
You were so happy when they got to 4, and now you're wanting more.
Yeah, I am. I think it would be a better playoff with
you. Just want
teams.
These teams like UH to get in. Like,
no, I don't. How's UH isn't even ranked.
These like teams from the AAC.
No, not necessarily. I think, to me, there should be a threshold that team has to have if it's going to be in that 8. Like if you're going
to
be
their
one
best
of
win should have to be better than South Florida.
No, but I think from I think you go back to using the computers and. From a computer perspective, they need to be in the top 8 or else you don't get in.
Yeah.
And those wins would help with that. But otherwise, you better go out and beat everybody by 70.
UCF now 10th in the country. Right below them is Ohio State. Do you think Ohio State would beat Central Florida?
I think Central Florida is better than Purdue.
Yeah.
So home game, maybe. Neutral site, I'd probably still go Ohio State, but I'm not – I mean, I'm not totally sold. The way they give up big plays, I don't think Ohio State's walking
all
over them.
What's your threshold? How far do you get before you think UCF's better than the team below them? I mean,
well, what are the other teams?
Are they better than Washington?
I don't think so. But Washington's not as good as I thought they were.
Are they better than A&M? Like, would you take UCF over A&M?
Boy, that's actually a discussion.
Okay.
You know, we should find out from Brad. What these spreads would be.
Oh, I mean, he posts his power rankings online.
Yeah.
I mean, I could tell you the next segment.
Well, let's do that.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975, SportsMap 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. 94.1. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Jack's Grill on Shepherd. And if you get out here before the end of the show, talk to the guys from Hawk Security about getting your home taken care of. So they're here as well.
Looks pretty interesting, man.
Yeah, man. They've got a nice setup. So they're out here. You can talk to them. You can get some great food. You can hang out. You can win some stuff. All right, so I called up the Sagarin rankings.
Okay.
And
I found this.
He's really big on strength of schedule, and that's what kills Central Florida in his rankings. He has them 28th.
Okay.
Which I think is too low, but 127 is a schedule rank.
Okay.
So right now, if they were to play, like, Texas would be a 3-point favorite over Central Florida. A&M would be a 4-point favorite.
Okay.
Just based on his, you know, minus the 3 points for home field that he automatically builds. Well, he builds in 2.47 for home field, which that's kind of an issue I have.
So neutral field, he's saying Texas would be a 3-point favorite?
Yeah.
Okay. What would Alabama be? 20?
Well, Alabama would be. The only team that they would have in single digits, according to this, is Clemson.
How many?
8.
I'd give 8.
I would, too. I'd give 10 against OU. I'd give 10 against Michigan. I'd give 12 against Ohio State, which is what they would be on, according to Sagarin. You know, Georgia, Washington, LSU, Iowa, Penn State, all right there together. So that's the thing. I think I'd take Central Florida over Iowa. And Iowa would be a 7-point favorite. I would take UCF. And be very happy with that. But, you know, here's one. And this to me is interesting because they have a loss. Fresno ranked higher at 18.
That is interesting.
I mean, I like Fresno. I don't know that I like Fresno better than UCF.
I think I do.
Yeah.
Maybe I may be biased because they've made me a bunch of money.
Well, they made me a bunch of money, too. So is UCF. They've only failed to cover for me once that I bet them this year.
Yeah.
But – yeah, I think it's I think that strength of schedule is going to be the thing that everybody points to because, I mean, they basically
But, I mean, don't you think at some point that's deserved?
Yeah, to an extent, although, you know, from year to year, it's not like Alabama's been beating the crap out of good teams this year.
No, they haven't.
As good as they are. I mean, and I think
But Alabama, to get to the playoff, is still going to have a win at LSU. They're going to have a win over Georgia.
Yeah, and by the end, that'll look good. And I think by the end, maybe UCF's looks better than 127. It's not going to be.
But, I mean, Alabama beat Texas A&M. There's no one even close to that on Central Florida's schedule.
That's their best win. Everything else on their schedule is garbage, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're going to get a chance to fix that. But right now, if you look at their schedules, it ain't that much different.
Well,
but like I said, it'll play out. And I don't think that in the end, I don't think they're going to – I think they're going to lose, to be honest with you.
Central Florida?
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me.
I'm not going to be shocked if they get to the championship game and UH puts it on them. I could see that happening. I don't think they're losing to South Florida. That team's not good. That's the worst unbeaten team I've ever seen. They shouldn't have beat Tulsa. They shouldn't have beat UConn. And I think we would all agree UConn is one of the three worst teams in the country.
They are for sure the worst defensive team in the country. I think
they're pretty close to being the worst offense too.
You know what? I've decided this week that UTEP, because they've actually improved and it seems like they've got a little fight in them.
Yeah.
I've bumped them ahead of Connecticut and Rice.
Okay.
So, Connecticut, UConn, and Rice, they're at
Rice
the bottom
had no
still.
Business covering this week.
They didn't.
All right. Washington State beat Oregon. That was one that kind of – it's kind of disappointing that Oregon lost that Stanford game because now they're out.
Yeah, but you know what? They didn't show up against Washington State either, so they don't deserve to
be
there.
Well, that's one of those – that's such a tough game because you're just coming off the big win over Washington. You got to go to a place that's tough to play against a pretty good team.
Yeah, a 6-1 team. You should be up for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it shouldn't be much of a letdown spot because Washington State, you knew they were good. It's not like they were a surprise. They were 6-1. You know, you should have been ready for that. But,
yeah,
I guess Washington State still – technically, I guess they're still technically alive for a playoff spot. It's pretty unlikely, but
yeah, I mean,
they're the only team that has a chance to go through as a one-loss team in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. The savings never stop out at Gulfgate. They're your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday. During Ram Power Days at Gulfgate, you can lease the all-new 2019 Ram Lone Star for only $339 a month. Plus, during the Jeep Adventure Days also going on, lease the all-new 2018 Jeep Wrangler JL for just $319 a month. They've got the largest Ram inventory in the loop. They've got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open, twice the size, to service twice the vehicles by their certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, and always online at gulfgatedodge.com. 2019 Ram Lone Star, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, 1,000 due at signing. 2018 Jeep Wrangler JL, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, 0 due at signing. Tax, dollar, and registration additional. See dealer for details.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Guys, Sunday, November 4th, out at Carbach. Gates at 1:30, music at 2. Carbach hosts the second annual Foam Hinge event at the brewery. It's going to be hosted by Eddie Trunk. This year's lineup has gone international. There's going to be rock acts from Australia, UK, Canada, and the U.S. The lineup, Texas Flood, The Sweet, Red Fang, April Wine, and Wolf Mother headlining. Tickets are just $23 in advance. $30 at the door. VIP tickets are available, which gets you a separate VIP entrance, a VIP area with an optimal view, indoor restrooms, 3 beers of your choice, access to some special tappings, a meet and greet with Eddie Trunk, and a buffet from the restaurant. Go to CarbachBrewing.com to get your tickets today. And if you haven't made it out to the restaurant, you should be ashamed. It's a brewery and dining experience unlike anywhere else. Fantastic with the crab cakes, the Korean fried chicken, the poutine, Hatch chili mac and cheese, pizzas, beer can chicken, steak, you name it, they've got it there, and it is awesome. They're open daily 11 to 9 for lunch and dinner, also serving brunch on Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 2. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And when you're out and about this week, pick up your favorite Carbach beer or tell your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the world's game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
And we are back on the Blitz. Make sure you tune in for Glenn Davis. I think Carl Dukes is a guest tonight. I've heard rumors about that. So, I want to thank Jack Skrill for having us out here. I want to thank the guys from Hawk Security Services who are also out here. And it's been a good time. We will be back in studio for a couple days and then on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Half my life is making radio shows with my friends.
Oh, jeez.
Except for you're here. All right, let's do the dumbass report.
All right. I'm not familiar with this town, Benidorm, which apparently is in England.
Benidorm?
Yeah.
So I bet it was a college dorm at one time. And then
maybe so.
Okay.
But, there was a man who was strapped naked to a tree wearing nothing but a pair of pink sunglasses. It appears he fell victim to a classic stag do prank involving rolls upon rolls of saran wrap. He was tied to a tree, butt naked with saran wrap. His buddies left a hat out in front of him, so at least he could get tips, which I guess was somewhat nice.
Was it cold?
No, people are wearing shorts.
Okay.
And he did have his hands strategically placed in front of his
twig. Oh, okay, so he was able to put his
twig.
Hands in.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any tips like that.
But people were taking pictures with him and throwing a couple bucks a couple euros in his hat. So I guess all's well that ends well, although some people were complaining about it. I mean, some of the locals, which you do that when there's nude people.
Depends on the nude person.
No mention of the police showing up and doing anything about this. So I don't know if they're quite doing it right.
I don't know how effective the cops are, because all I ever see from British cops is on TV.
Yeah.
And all they ever do is say, well, we'll have to look at the CCTV of that. It's like everything. That's their go-to.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, I'm sure you can catch the bad guys if you've got them on television.
All right. Can we all agree that bad luck is crashing your car?
Well, unless it's your fault.
Yeah, but even then, it's not a good day.
No, it's not your best day, but...
It's even worse when you crash your car into a police cruiser.
That is bad luck.
How about worse luck? You crash your car into a police cruiser while you're drunk, and you're carrying a passenger that has a open warrant for his arrest. Worse luck, right?
How'd you find out about that?
Sorry.
I've been trying to keep that secret.
Police say it was the last option for the unlucky driver arrested on DUI charges early Saturday. Officers were near the intersection of Santa Fe Avenue and Locust Street in Pueblo, Colorado at 2:20 a.m. investigating a car. And the officer's cruiser was left blocking the roadway with its siren lights on. Police say the suspect vehicle came barreling towards the well-lit vehicle and crashed into it. Both driver and passenger were taken into custody. The driver for the DUI, obviously, and passenger for an unrelated arrest warrant. Neither has been identified. No officers were in the cruiser at the time, so I guess that is a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
And what would you do if you saw a zombie?
Not Rob Zombie, but a real zombie.
A real zombie.
Shoot him.
Okay. What if a zombie jumped out and tried to scare you, and it wasn't Halloween?
I'd figure it was somebody being stupid, because by then I would have heard of the outbreak.
Would you beat their ass?
Nah, probably not.
Well, Drew Stephen Hyde did decide to beat some ass. He's a 56-year-old man from Henderson, Nevada.
Of course he is.
Here's the catch on these zombies. They weren't real zombies.
Of course they weren't.
They were teenage girls dressed as zombies to promote Odyssey Dance Theater's annual production of Thriller. But he punched and shoved them all. The incident happened to girls who were between the ages of 13 and 16.
Hey, see, if you bring that up right off the bat, what if it were a 16-year-old zombie? No, I'm not punching the zombie or shooting the zombie. And I'm just like... You know, get off my lawn, kid. That's about it.
As Hyde walked by with his family, he told a 14-year-old girl, "If you touch my daughter, I will punch you." He then punched her on the left side of her face. A 16-year-old girl told police she watched Hyde shove two other girls down the stairs and then came and shoved my back down the stairs.
I told another 16-year-old girl, if you bleep and touch me, I will knock you out, before he grabbed her by the back of her neck and shoved her down the stairs. A 15-year-old girl said hi, told her, if any of you touch me, I'll bleep you up, and then proceeded to grab her by the back of the neck and shove her down the stairs. Maybe the fifth girl, who was 13, gave a similar story that Hyde walked up to her, told her if she touched him, he would effing knock her out before he proceeded to punch her in the chest. All female victims were checked by medicals, and no major injuries were noted except bruises. He's been arrested on charges of child abuse.
Nice.
Yeah, not ideal. Yeah. And that, friends, is the Dumbass Report this week.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
Dude.
That almost sounds like a game. How many 15-year-old girls could you beat in a fight if they're dressed as zombies and moving really slow? All right, that's going to wrap
apparently
it up.
Five is about the max.
Yeah, well, this guy's 56 years old. I would hope you could get more than five. All right, we'll be back in studio tomorrow. Great job, Jong Lee. Want to thank Jax for having us out here.
Oh, yes.
Hawk
the
Security.
Delicious Jax Grill.
Yes, Hawk Security Services. High praise for the burger from my daughter today. Great job, AJ. Great job, John. Till tomorrow. Stay sportsy, bitches.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.